Sita Ram, Jaya Sita Ram, 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 Shri Ram, Jaya Ram, Jaya Jaya 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 Ram, Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram, Patita Pavana Sita Ram, Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram, Patita Pavana Sita Ram, Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai 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 Ram, Sita Ram, Jai Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Jaya Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Jaya Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Jaya Sita Ram, Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram, Patita Pavana Sita Ram, Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram, Patita Pavana Sita Ram, Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, Shri Ram, Jaya Ram, Jaya Jaya Ram, Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, Shri Ram, Jaya Ram, Jaya Jaya Ram, Sita Ram, Jaya Sita 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 Ram, Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, Shri Ram, Jaya Ram, Jaya Jaya Ram, Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, Sita Ram, Jaya Sita 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 Ram, Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, Shri Ram, Jaya Ram, Jaya Jaya Ram, Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, Shri Ram, Jaya Ram, Jaya Jaya Ram, Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram, Patita Pavana Sita Ram, Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram, Patita Pavana Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Jaya Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Jaya Sita Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Sita Ram, Jaya Sita Ram, 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 Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai 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 Ram, Jai Shri Ram Chandra Ki Jai, Ram Chandra Bhagavan Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. Just to remind everybody, tomorrow is the actual day of Ram Navami. Ram Navami means the ninth day of the moon. And this is the day the Lord Ramchandra appeared. And it is a very auspicious day for all of you to celebrate. Okay, so on that happy note, we're also going to be having a program tomorrow evening, 6 o'clock Fiji time. Right now it is 6:10 p.m. Fiji time, and it'll consist of the final discussion about Lord Ram's pastimes, and after that we'll be having a very special Abhishek of Sita and Ram and Lakshman and Hanuman that you're welcome to participate in, to watch, or if any of you are interested in sponsoring this, you can write to me. We'll give you more information tomorrow night about this. So that's tomorrow evening. During the day, we're not going to broadcast this, but we'll show you a video of it. We're going to give Sita, Ram, Lakshman, and Hanuman a bath in the ocean. So there'll be an Abhishek during the day that you'll see a video of, and the Abhishek at night that you'll get a chance to participate in. In addition, at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, Fiji time, I'll be doing a program for the devotees in North Carolina, and they'll be having an Abhishek there, which will be broadcast on their Mayapur TV and other their Facebook pages. But for those of you in the South Pacific, 6 o'clock Fiji time is the time to tune in, and we'll be here on Facebook Live, and also for some of you who have the right keys, it will be also on Zoom for participation. Okay, so we are continuing our reading of the Valmiki Ramayan, and yesterday we read how Hanuman killed many of the grandchildren of Ravan, and many of the soldiers of Ravana, and these king gurus, and he showed himself to be extremely heroic. But something else will happen today in our reading, that where Hanuman is going to be allowing himself to be captured by the Rakshasas. Very interesting story. And we're reading from the Valmiki Ramayana, the original Ramayana, written by Valmiki Muni. So, Om Ganat Timiranda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So, continuing the dramatic reading. So, remember, last thing we read yesterday was Aksha getting killed by Hanuman. So, the youthful Aksha, having been slain by Hanuman, Ravana, controlling his agitation, filled with anger, commanded Indrajit, who resembled a god, to take the field, saying, Thou art the foremost of those bearing arms and hast afflicted even the gods and Asuras in war. Thou art renowned among warriors and hast acquired divine weapons by the grace of Brahma. Thou art invincible in combat, even against the Maruts led by Indra himself. There's none in the three worlds who does not tire in battle save thou. That means you're the only one. This is Old English. Thou art preserved by thy prowess in arms, and thy valor is thy shield, being versed in the knowledge of time and place. And thou art exceedingly experienced, and no feat is impossible for thee to accomplish in the field, who art full of forethought. There is none in the three worlds who is conversant with thine austerities equal to mine own, as also thy prowess and the strength. Wow. Nay, depending on thee, I have no anxiety regarding the outcome of the fray. In truth, I did not put the same reliance on those who have succumbed that I now place in thee. O destroyer of thy foes, neither in the Kinkuras nor in Jambumali, the son of my counselor, nor the five generals going forth at the head of their troops with innumerable forces accompanied by horses, elephants, and chariots, nor in the youthful, dearly beloved Akshay, slain by that monkey. O hero, thou surpassest them all. Therefore, reflecting on thine own strength, with all haste, act in such a manner that the destruction of the army may be avoided. O foremost of those bearing arms, considering thine own prowess and that of thine adversary, who now reposes quietly after creating carnage, it means destruction, among these hostile hosts, act so that his might may be subdued, referring to Hanuman, of course. Powerful forces can serve no purpose here, for the great armies flee before Hanuman, nor do maces avail. The speed of Maruti is irresistible, and like unto Agni, he may not be slain by weapons. Therefore, resolving all these things in thy mind, and reflecting on the divine quality of thy bow, with the intention of bringing about a successful issue, strive with determination to overcome thy foe by frustrating his attacks. Assuredly, it was not my will to expose thee to this hazard, O foremost amongst those endowed with intelligence. Yet this course of action is approved by warriors and is in accord with the duty of kings. In war, one must be versed in the traditions, as also in the rules of military science, in order to emerge triumphant from the struggle. Of course, we understand, as described in the Valmiki Ramayana, that Indrajit, actually is called Indrajit because, let me turn this so you get more light here. Indrajit is called Indrajit because he conquered Indra. And he was able to capture Indra. Very, very interesting. And because he was able to capture Indra, Lord Brahma had to negotiate a release. And in negotiating a release, Lord Brahma gave Indrajit unequaled powers. In other words, powers that no one else had. In the Valmiki Ramayana, it's described that Indrajit is, in one sense, more powerful than Ravana himself. Let me adjust this light, get more light here. He's more powerful than Ravana himself. So here Ravana is calling for his foremost soldier, someone who he has complete trust in, to defeat Hanuman. So hearing the words of his sire, Indrajit, with prowess equal to that of the son of Daksha, circumambulated him and inspired with martial ardor, his enthusiasm, big words here, prepared to fight, overwhelmed with homage by his cherished companions, who would assemble there, he set out for battle. And the resplendent son of the king of the Rakshasas, whose eyes resembled the petals of the lotus, bounded impetuously forward like the ocean at the time of the full moon. Thereafter, Indrajit, of matchless prowess, equal unto Indra, ascended his chariot. Swift is the eagle or the wind, moving freely, drawn by four lions with pure white teeth. So Indrajit's chariot, try to picture this in your mind, had four lions pulling it, and they had white teeth. So lions pulling a chariot. It's interesting that Ravana's chariot, at least the one he went to capture Sita Devi with, had asses with human heads pulling it. Asses means donkeys with human heads, quite obscene. But Indrajit's chariot was much more glorious because it was pulled by these lions with great white teeth. Standing in his chariot, the most skilled of archers, fully conversant with the use of weapons, the foremost of warriors drove rapidly to where Hanuman was to be found. Hearing the rumbling of wheels and the twanging of the bowstring, the delight of that monkey was redoubled. In other words, Hanuman got really ecstatic. Now it's time for a good fight. And actually, this is the mood of a kshatriya, or a fighter, that he's very happy whenever there's a fight. In other words, he doesn't run away from the fight. He's able to tolerate great pain. Just like we experienced in the previous story we told yesterday, that Hanuman actually had so many of these arrows in his forehead and his chest and all over his body. And it didn't faze him, it didn't stop him. In fact, it even made him more ferocious. And that reminds me of the story in the Mahabharata of Karna, when he was with his guru Parashuram, and Karna had actually told Parashuram that he was a Brahmin so that Parashuram would accept him as a disciple. Because Parashuram really hated Kshatriyas because he had killed so many previously. So once upon a time, Karna was sitting down and his guru had put his head, the guru's head, on Karna's lap. And while the guru was resting with his head on Karna's lap, Parashuram was doing that, then this ferocious little bug, insect, or whatever it was, started to chew away at Karna's flesh. And Karna thought, I have to tolerate, because I don't want to disturb my guru. So a few drops fell on Parashuram, and Parashuram said, ooh, what is this? And Karna explained, I am being eaten by this bug, or this whatever it was, reptile bug, whatever it was. And Parashuram said, why didn't you get up immediately? And Karna said, I didn't want to disturb your resting. And Parashuram got really angry. He said, you are a kshatriya. Because a kshatriya, when he actually gets challenged or even wounded, gets more ferocious. Even in the Mahabharata, we find the story when grandfather Bhishma was being filled with arrows by Arjuna, protected by Shikhandi, because grandfather Bhishma had vowed never to fire his arrows where there was a woman or someone who was a previous woman, and Shikhandi was previously a woman. And so Arjuna was firing all these arrows at Grandfather Bhishma, but Grandfather Bhishma kept running at Arjuna to attack him. And so finally Arjuna had to fill Grandfather Bhishma with so many arrows that Grandfather Bhishma fell over backwards on his bed of arrows. Otherwise, with an ordinary person, I mean, if someone fired an arrow, one arrow at me, that would have been it. But if you fire an arrow at a kshatriya, then he becomes more ferocious. And Hanuman was like that. It shows a great martial arts, martial spirit. Because Hanuman was a monkey, but he had that spirit. And of course, that spirit is not simply that someone is interested in fighting. But one likes challenges, and one likes challenges in the name of Dharma, to defend others. In fact, the name Kshatriya means one who protects others from harm or danger. And Hanuman is like that. he becomes more ferocious the more you attack him. So it describes that the delight of that monkey was redoubled. That means Hanuman's ecstasy was even more persons to fight with. Joy! And that's how you can see if someone's a Kshatriya. Someone who is a Brahmin, he will run away most likely. I mean, just like, I often give the example of when I was young, we had this gym class, that is physical class, you know, where we were trained up, trained in wrestling. And so I was assigned, I had to do it, I was assigned to be someone's wrestling partner, and I told the person who was wrestling with me that as soon as they count to three, I will throw myself on the back and give up. And I did it. And I failed physical education as a result. The only class I ever failed. Anyway, so Indrajit, seizing his bow and steel-pointed arrows, versed in the art of warfare, proceeded towards Hanuman, and as he advanced lightheartedly, his weapons in his hand, the four quarters grew dark and jackals set up a hideous howling. Nagas, yakshas, marishis, chukacharas, and siddhas assembled in the sky, and the sky was filled with birds emitting piercing cries. Seeing that chariot bearing down on him, the standard of Indra unfurled. That means the flag unfurled, open. That monkey raised a great shout and expanded his body, whereupon Indrajit in his marvelous car drew back his marvelous bow, emitting a sound like thunder, and those two powerful heroes closed in conflict, the monkey and the son of the king of the Rakshasas, like unto God and a demon. Indifferent to danger, they began to fight, and that mighty monkey evaded the impetuous army of that valiant archer and consummate warrior, that means topmost warrior, in his great car by executing many revolutions in the air with indescribable agility. Thereupon, the heroic Indrajit, slayer of his foes, began to discharge his marvelously, superbly fashioned, sharp, steel-pointed, and winged arrows, tipped with gold, swift as lightning. Hearing the rumbling of that chariot, the rolling of the drums, together with the sound of the stretching of the bow, Hanuman leapt, hither and thither, and that mighty monkey, evading the rain of arrows, skillfully eluded that dexterous bowman, expert bowman, whose target he was, and stretching out his arms, Hanuman, the son of Anila, the wind god, turning aside from those missiles, leapt into the sky. Those skillful and spirited warriors, exceedingly swift in motion and versed in the art of warfare, engaged in combat to the wonder of all beings. Nor was the Rakshasa able to take Hanuman unaware, nor Maruti surprise Indrajit, as they hurled themselves on one another with a courage worthy of the gods. Let me adjust this. Okay. Observing him unscathed, that means he wasn't hurt. Although the target of his infallible arrows, Indrajit, controlling his senses, engaged in profound concentration of thought on Hanuman and finding him incapable of being slain, he began to consider how he could be bound fast, and that most experienced of warriors, full of exceeding energy, discharged that powerful weapon conferred on him by Brahma on that illustrious monkey. Knowing him to be incapable of being slain, Indrajit, skilled in strategy, bound that offspring of the wind god with the aid of that weapon. In other words, there's the weapon of Lord Brahma, which Hanuman agreed to respect. but also we're going to find out how he was freed from it. Struck by the Rakshasa with the Brahma weapon, that monkey fell to the earth unconscious, but knowing himself to be bound by a shaft belonging to the Lord, he did not experience the least pain, and though bereft of strength, that monkey thought of himself of Brahma's blessing. Then that heroic monkey began to recollect the boons conferred on him by Brahma, and thinking of that weapon bestowed by the self-creator, that's Lord Brahma, consecrated by mantras, he reflected, I may not be released from these bonds in virtue of the power of that guru of the world. Further, this subjugation has been ordained by him and must be endured by me. So in other words, it was Lord Brahma who said that this was going to happen, and Hanuman said, you know, I have to go along with this. So he understood that Lord Brahma had a plan, Lord Brahma knew what was going to happen, and Lord Brahma understood what was going to be the result of this whole thing. Okay. Thereupon, reflecting on the power of that weapon and the compassion of the grandsire of the world towards him, that's Lord Brahma again, the grandsire, and also the possibility of deliverance, that monkey submitted himself to Brahma's decree. He thought, though made fast by this weapon, I experience no fear. The grandsire of the world, Mahendra and Anila, Anila, of course, is wind god again, will protect me. Therefore, I deem it to be my advantage to fall into the hands of the Rakshasas and thus come face to face with that great king. Therefore, let my enemies take me captive. So he wanted to do that. Okay. Having thus resolved, that destroyer of his foes, full of circumspection, lay motionless and being ruthlessly pinioned, that means pinned down, by the Titans. He responded to their threats and abuses by roaring like a lion. Rawr. Beholding that subduer of his foes lying motionless, the Rakshasas bound him with regular ropes of hemp and bark, and he willingly allowed himself to be tied and insulted by his foes in order that he might speak with the king of the Rakshasas. Should he, out of curiosity, desire to see him? Bound with ropes, the monkey was no longer under the sway of the Brahma weapon, for he, being secured by other bounds, it was rendered void. Behold, that excellent monkey bound with bark, the valiant Indrajit recognized him to be freed from that supernatural weapon and became very thoughtful, saying aloud, alas! In other words, Indrajit was intelligent enough to understand that when they bound the other Rakshasas, not Indrajit, when they bound Hanuman with regular ropes, Hanuman actually was free at that point. And so Indrajit here is lamenting, alas, those Rakshasas have rendered my exploit useless. Not being conversant with the power of mantras and that Brahma weapon being rendered void, no other is effective. Thus we are all placed in a great predicament, for this weapon may not be used twice. Though delivered from the power of that weapon, Hanuman betrayed it by no sign. Despite the suffering caused by the fetters, fetters means the things that tied him, that bound him, and he allowed himself to be ill-treated by the Rakshasas and assaulted by those cruel demons who struck him with their fists and dragged him before Ravana. Freed from the Brahma weapon, yet bound by hemp ropes, that powerful and heroic monkey was paraded by Indrajit before Ravana and his court, and those titans related to the king everything concerning the foremost of the monkeys who resembled a maddened elephant that had been done. On seeing the foremost of the monkeys made captive, those warlike Rakshasas inquired, saying, who is this? Who has sent him? From whence has he come? What is his mission? Who are his supporters? And others exclaimed angrily, kill him! Burn him! Devour him! Devour means eat him. Having come some way, Hanuman observed elderly attendants seated at the feet of the king, and he gazed with admiration on the palace decorated with many gems. Then the exceedingly powerful Ravana beheld that foremost of monkeys dragged hither and thither by those hideous Rakshasas, and Hanuman gazed at the lord of the Rakshasas, who was like unto a blazing sun in his might and glory. Seeing Hanuman, that ten-headed one issued orders to his chief ministers, distinguished for their lineage, that means their families, and characters, stood before him and commanded them to interrogate that monkey. Interrogate means question. Thereupon, questioned in turn by them concerning the purpose of his coming, Hanuman answered, "I'm a messenger. I come from King Sugriva." Pondering on the exploits of that one of exceeding prowess, Hanuman gazed with wonder on the king of the Rakshasas, whose eyes were red with anger, and who was blazing with rare and dazzling gold, adorned with a splendid crown studded with pearls and excellent ornaments of diamonds and precious stones created by the power of concentrated thought. Attired in costly linen, daubed with red sandalwood paste, painted with variegated devices, he looked splendid with his reddened eyes, fierce gaze, brilliant sharp teeth, and protruding lips. To that monkey, that ten-headed one, who was resplendent and of great energy, resembled the Mandara Mountain, with its summits infested with innumerable snakes or a mass of blue antimony. A string of pearls gleamed upon his breast, this is Ravana, of course. His countenance possessing the luster of the full moon, he resembled a cloud illumined by the rising sun. With his great arms laden with bracelets, smeared with sandalwood paste, his fingers like five-headed serpents covered with sparkling rings, he was seated on a superb and marvelously inlaid crystal throne, studded with gems and covered with rich hangings. Women, sumptuously attired, surrounded him with yak-tails in their hands, and he was attended by four experienced counselors, Duryodhana, Prahasta, Mahaparshva, and the minister Nikumbha, who stood around him like the four seas surrounding the earth, and other counselors too waited upon him, as do the gods on their king. Then Hanuman gazed on the lord of the Rakshasas, clothed in extreme splendor, resembling the peak of the mountain, and surrounded by thunder clouds, and though suffering at the hands of those Rakshasas of dreadful prowess, Hanuman experienced extreme astonishment at the sight of that monarch, and beholding the effulgence of that lord of the Rakshasas, dazzled by his magnificent, he became absorbed in thought. So now we're going to hear what Hanuman was thinking. What splendor, what power, what glory, what majesty, he reflected. Nothing is lacking. Were he not evil, this mighty monarch of the Rakshasas could be the protector of the celestial realm and Indra himself. But his cruel and ruthless deeds, abhorrent to all, render him the scourge of the worlds, as also of the gods and demons. And in his anger he could make an ocean of the earth. Such were the many thoughts of that sagacious, that means intelligent, monkey on beholding the immeasurable power and might of the king of the Rakshasas. Beholding that tawny-eyed one, that's Hanuman, of course, standing before him, the mighty armed Ravana, the terror of the worlds, was seized with violent rage. Gazing on that lion amongst the monkeys, radiating splendor, his mind filled with apprehension, he reflected, "Is this the blessed Nandi who has come hither? He who formerly cursed me when on Mount Kailash he became the object of my mockery. Or is he perchance Vanabali's son in the form of a monkey?" So, you know, there's the story which I told the other day, that when Ravan went to see Lord Shiva, show Lord Shiva his prowess, first thing he saw was Nandi, that is the bull of Lord Shiva, and he made fun of the way Nandi looked, and he says, "Ooh, you look so strange. You look like a monkey." And Nandi cursed him. "Okay, you think like that? You're going to die because of a monkey." And actually even said, "You're going to die when a monkey spits on your face." And we told the story the other day that one time Ravana was looking at himself in the mirror. Hanuman made himself very small, and Hanuman was spitting at him. And Ravana thought, "Well, it's just a little fresh air, or a little wind blowing the rain here." So anyway, so his eyes red with anger, the king then addressed the foremost of his counselors, Prahasta, in words that were opportune and fraught with good sense. "Demand," this is what Ravana's saying, "demand of this perverse wretch whence he has come, for what reason he laid waste the grove, and why he slew the Rakshasas. What is the purpose of his entering this impregnable citadel? And then why did he attack my men? Interrogate the scoundrel concerning these matters." At the words of Ravana, Prahasta said to Hanuman, "O monkey, be of good courage. Thou hast nothing to fear. If it be Indra who has sent thee to Ravana's abode, tell us frankly. I have no anxiety. Thou shalt be liberated. If thou art from the Vaishnava's Yama or Varuna, and have penetrated our city disguising thy real form, or if thou hast been dispatched by Vishnu, hungry for conquest, then tell us. Thy form alone is that of a monkey, not thy prowess. Unfold all this to us faithfully, O monkey, and thou shalt instantly regain thy freedom. But if thou liest, thou shalt pay for it with thy life. Therefore, tell us, why hast thou entered Ravana's abode?" Thus addressed, the foremost of the monkeys answered the lord of the Rakshasas, saying, "I am not from Shakra, nor Yama, nor Varuna, nor am I allied to Kuvera, nor am I sent by Vishnu. I am truly a monkey, as I appear to be, who have come here in order to behold the king of the Titans, and for this purpose I destroyed the grove. To preserve my life, I fought with the Rakshasas who, full of valor, presented themselves before me. Neither weapons nor chains can subdue me, even those of the gods and titans themselves. I, having received this boon from the grand sire of the world, it was because I desired to see the king that I suffered myself to be overcome by the Brahma weapon. Though I was not under the spell of that weapon, yet I permitted the titans to capture me in order to further Rama's design, for which purpose I have entered the king's presence, knowing me to be the messenger of Raghava, whose power is limitless. Listen to my words, which will prove to thine advantage, O Lord." We'll read a little more, and then we'll speak something. So these are Hanuman's words to Ravana. Seeing that mighty ten-headed Ravana, that intrepid monkey, addressed him fearlessly in words fraught with penetration, saying, "I have come here at the command of Sugriva, O Lord of the Rakshasas. As a brother, that sovereign of the monkeys offers salutations to thee. Hear the counsel of a brother, the magnanimous Sugriva. His words are in accord with justice, advantageous and salutary, both in this world and hereafter. King Dasarath, the master of chariots, elephants, and horses, in splendor equal to Indra, was the friend of all, and like unto a father to his subjects. His eldest son, Mighty Arm, the darling of his sire, at his command, entered the Dandaka forest with his brother Lakshman and his consort, Sita. His name is Ram, and is exceedingly valiant and ever abides in the path of virtue. His faithful consort, Sita, the illustrious daughter of the high-souled Janaka, king of Videha, banished in the forest of Janashtana. Seeking for that princess, the king's son, with his younger brother, came to Rishimukha and met with Sugriva. That king of the monkeys promised to undertake the search for Sita and Ram, and he agreed to aid him in recovering the monkey kingdom. Thereupon, slaying Bali in combat, That king's son established Sugriva on the throne as lord of all the bears and monkeys. Bali, that bull among monkeys, formerly known to thee, was slain by Ram with a single arrow in the fight. Whereupon the lord of the monkeys, Sugriva, true to his vow, eager to bring Sita, dispatched monkeys in all directions. Hundreds and thousands and millions of monkeys are exploring every region, high and low, even up to the heavens, and some resemble Vainatreya, and some the wind, and those highly energetic monkeys are going hither and thither without rest, incapable of being stayed. I am named Hanuman, the beloved son of Marut, and in order to find Sita, I have crossed 400 miles of sea, having passed over the ocean. Wandering through thy palace, I observe Janaka's daughter. It does not become thee, who art conversant with what is meet and proper, and hast enriched thyself with thy penances to bear away another's wife. O eminently sagacious one, intelligent being such as thou, should not commit acts prohibited by the law of righteousness which lead to ruin. Even among the gods and titans, who can withstand the shafts loosed by Lakshman or those of Raghavendra's wrath? Nay, in the three worlds, there is none who may affront Ram with impunity. Following the path of duty and profit, do thou ponder these words fraught with advantage to thee in the three divisions of time and restore Janaki to Ram, that lion among men. So that's the last thing we'll read today. And we'll finish up telling the part of the story that you've all heard before, but it's very, very interesting. And this is when Ram was very, very young. He was 16 years old, after he had graduated from the Gurukul. When Ram was young, he went to the Gurukul of his guru, Vasishtha Muni. And just about when he came home after graduating from Gurukul, who shows up at the castle but Vishwamitra Muni. And Vishwamitra Muni we mentioned before we told this story. And he shows up in the castle of Dasarath, and he says to Dasarath that I have a problem. And my problem is that I am trying to conduct this sacrifice, and these two Rakshasas, Marich and Subahu, are destroying the sacrifice. Every time I get ready to say some mantras or throw some ghee in the fire, they are throwing down pus and blood and bones, which basically ends up in desecrating the sacrifice. So I need to have Ram come with me. And Dasarath becomes shocked because he's so attached to Ram. And as we know, it's similar to the story, actually it's very similar to the story of Lord Nityananda and Hadai Pandit, that Dasarath was inseparable from Ram and Lord Nityananda was inseparable over Hadai Pandit. Lord Nityananda was inseparable from Hadai Pandit. So, anyway, so Dasarath basically says that I'll be willing to help you. You can take me and my army, but you can't have Ram. And Vishwamitra replies at that point, I heard that the your dynasty, the Ikshvaku dynasty, everyone was truthful. You had Vivaswan, Ikshvaku, Manu, they were all truthful. Now, finally, I've seen there's a person in your dynasty, that is yourself, who doesn't tell the truth, who doesn't keep his promises. And so he gets really angry, and Vasishtha, the guru of Dasarath, says, don't worry, send Ram with him. Ram will always be protected. So finally Dasarath agrees under great duress to send Ram with Vishwamitra Muni, and they proceed on the path, and they enter into this, I wouldn't say forest, but this deserted area where there's no living creature, very inauspicious sounds. And Ram asks Vishwamitra, what is happening here? Why is this place deserted? No animals, no auspiciousness. And then Vishwamitra replies, this is the abode of Tataka, and she is a great demoness. Actually, Tataka is the mother of Marich. Just a little family history there. And there's an interesting story of how she became Tataka, this demon, who actually ate people and ate all sorts of animals and destroyed the whole forest. Once upon a time, there was a yaksha princess daughter of Suketu who wanted to get a son, but instead this yaksha princess daughter of Suketu got a daughter, and that daughter's name was Tataka. Tataka was extremely beautiful. Now, yakshas are not ugly creatures. It's not like rakshasas. Some of them are quite attractive. Some of them are quite nice. There's that story in the Mahabharata about the yaksha who felt very, very compassion. Compassion, of course, means felt sorry for Shikhandi, actually Shikhandini, who was a woman at that particular time, and the yaksha agreed to give Shikhandini his masculinity in exchange for Shikhandi's or Shikhandini's femininity. And that way, we understand that when Shikhandi was actually in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he was actually a woman. And only when he died did that masculinity go back to the yaksha. There's a whole story which I don't have time to tell about that right now. So, anyway, so Tataka was quite attractive. She married someone named Sumali, another nice demon. And she had two sons, Marich and Subahu, and a daughter, Kekasi. So remember, Kekasi was the mother of Ravan. Remember, Kekasi and Vishravas, we told that story before. So she married Kekasi. Kekasi got married to Vishravas and had Ravan. So the Rishi Agastya got very angry at Sumali and Suketu because they acted demoniacally, and he cursed them to die. And Tataka and her son Subahu tried to kill the Rishi Agastya. And when they tried to kill the Rishi Agastya, the Rishi Agastya cursed her to become ugly, and Subahu also to become an ugly demon. So that's how she became a demon. So Ram was in this forest. Also, Subahu and Marich also tried to harass Visamrita Muni too at different times. So at this point, Tataka is in that forest, and Ram is going through the forest, and Ram twangs his bow and wakes up Tataka. Tataka wakes up and sees Ram, Lakshman, and Vishwamitra and gets ready to kill them. And Ram is very, very reluctant to kill a woman. I mean, that's not usually done by Kshatriyas. In Kshatriya Dharma, we understand the women are supposed to be protected, the old people are supposed to be protected, the brahmanas and the children. Very, very important principles. So he's very reluctant, but he's encouraged by Visvamitra Muni, who says, she's a rakshasa and she's killed so many people. Don't hesitate, because if you hesitate, then guess what happens? The rakshasas get very powerful in the twilight hours. And it's interesting about the twilight hours, that is, in the dusk. That's the time the mode of ignorance becomes very prominent. One of the reasons we encourage devotees to rise early in the morning is because early in the morning the mode of goodness is prominent. And then later on in the morning, the mode of passion is prominent. And then when you get to the evening, the mode of ignorance is prominent. And the demons get very powerful. That's why people like partying at night. And that's why devotees should like to go to sleep at night early, so they can get up early, for the mode of goodness time. The mode of goodness time is the best time to cultivate spiritual knowledge. So anyway, so she gets more powerful in the evening. So Ram finally cuts off her arms and then kills her. And with that great victory in mind, Mr. Mitta actually, after that point, delivers weapons to Ram and Ram and Lakshman, and they're able to defend the sacrifice of Mr. Mitta Muni. First of all, they kill Subahu and Marich, Uncle Marich, that is Ravana's uncle, not my uncle, is thrown like 400 or 800 miles away into the ocean. And I think I told you all this story before, but if not, I'll tell it again. So at that point, he understands the great power of Ram. Later on, when Ram is in the Dandakaranya forest, he again tries to attack Ram. But at this point, he takes the form of an eight-legged beast, something like a shavara, you know, like a pig, but an eight-legged beast. And he goes to attack Ram, and Ram fires his arrow at Marich and some of the other demons who are going at the same time. And Marich barely escapes Ram's arrow. At this point, poor Uncle Marich, he is actually traumatized by even the name of Ram. So it's described when Ravan first goes to Marich to ask him to help him kidnap Sita Devi, Marich says, "Don't do it, it'll be your death." He says, "Even if I hear Ra, you know, the first syllable of Rama, I get traumatized." So he's really scared of Ram. And so the reason that Ram didn't kill him when he was defending Vishwamitra Muni's sacrifice is because Marich had a part to play later on in the pastime. You know, so many times people ask me, why all these curses? Why didn't Ram do this? Why didn't Ram do that? Because he's arranging for his pastime, or to be more precise, Yogamaya is arranging for a particular pastime of the Lord according to his desire. The other day, people were asking the question on the internet, why is Ram green, like Darbu grass? Why is he green? And my answer is very simple, because he wants to be. And when we talk about Krishna being the cause of all causes, and Ram is the cause of all causes, there is no other cause to Ram's desire and personality than himself. Everything else has a cause. You know, why do I look the way I look? Because of my parents, the genes, that's life, isn't it? Why am I older? Because that's the way the material energy is. But the Lord is independent. So he just does anything and appears any way he wants according to his desire to enjoy himself, to enjoy Ras. Therefore he's called Rasa Raj, the king of all Ras. So let's just finish with this particular story. So then after getting rid of these demons, disturbing the sacrifice of Viswamitra, they head to Mithila. And on the way to Mithila, then Ahalya is saved. Ahalya, is, of course, is the wife of Gautama Rishi, who was cursed by Gautama Rishi because Indra defiled her, and actually she enjoyed it. Indra took the form of Gautama Rishi, and she had to remain as a stone. And some versions of the Ramayana said it was a stone. Some other versions say that she remained in a disincarnate form. In other words, like a ghostly form. But in any case, Ram saved her, and she went to rejoin her husband again, getting purified because of that punishment. And Indra also got purified, or actually punished, after he tried, or he did violate the chastity of Ahalya. But that's a different story told in the Bhagavatam. Then Ram goes to Mithila, and we described also the other day why Mithila is called Mithila. It refers to the churning, and I'm not going to get into that story again, and therefore he wins Sita in the Swayamvara. So that's all we have time for tonight. Tomorrow we're going to speak a little bit more philosophically about the Ramayana, and for the last few days we've been just telling different stories or reading from the Valmiki Ramayana, which is the authorized version of the Ramayana, and tomorrow we'll try to tie it all up in some philosophical discussion. So thank you all for joining us, and tomorrow at 6 o'clock Fiji time we'll be starting our program. And the program will consist of some philosophical discussion. And after that, we will have an Abhishek for Shri Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman, Sita, of course. Sita, Ram, Lakshman, and Hanuman. And this is all going to be broadcast from Naisosu, which is part of the Nandi area in Fiji. And we were all on basically lockdown. Lockdown means because of the coronavirus, we can't have any guests. We're just here with the family, with Sanata and his family, and Goku Bandhu. And join us tomorrow night. Should be pretty exciting. Okay, all glories to His Divine Grace.